Real Business Owners.
Guys, welcome back to Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 22. It's myself, Trevor Cowley, my partner as usual, Kel Goodman's with me. Guys, today we've got a special guest for you. We would call her the hair queen. She's killing the hair game right now, and you guys are going to get a little peek inside of how she's been able to do it, you know, utilizing social media to her advantage and how unique and genuine she is as an individual. Guys, we want to welcome Mackenzie Turley on today's podcast. Enjoy. Okay, guys, we've got an awesome guest for you guys today. We've got Mackenzie Turley. Her and her husband are like, you know, the Ken and Barbie doll of the gym, you know, the fit couple. Didn't I used to give you guys shit for that back
Probably.
In the day?
I'm sure.
The fittest couple in the gym or something.
So hey, we're consistent.
Yeah, I try not to be there when they're there because her husband's arms make mine look puny, you know. So, but tell us a little bit about your backstory and give us a little context of kind of who you are and, you know, all that good stuff.
Okay, I was born and raised in Utah County. We lived there for a few years after we got married, and then we've bounced around quite a few places around Utah for several years, and then we landed here in St. George about 8 years ago.
Okay.
It's the longest we've ever stayed anywhere.
You love it here, or do you
love
guys itching to get out?
No? No, not itching to get out. I love change, but this weather, like, I can't deny it. I don't ever want to go anywhere where there's snow.
Do you hate snow?
Oh, yeah.
So you were raised in the snow, but this
oh
just,
yeah raised
you're
at the base
happening.
Of Timpanogos,
yeah.
Skied every weekend, and then like I turned like 25, and I can't be under like 60 degrees or else I get hypothermia.
I can't do Salt Lake either. I mean, I lived up there for like 10 months and suffered through one winter, but I wasn't ready though. You know, the people that live up there, they've got the snowshoes and they've got the right attire.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I walk out there and whatever.
They got snowshoes?
They got snowshoes.
He's taping tennis rackets on the bottom of
it. Yeah, exactly. I'm over there trying to figure out how to blend in, but I didn't blend in very well. I just hate the snow because when I would get out to go warm the car up, which I never had to do previous because I lived here where it's warm, you know, you're scraping the windows, you're freezing cold. And then when I would walk out in the snow in my work pants, the bottom of my pants would just stay wet for the rest of the day. My toes were froze for the rest of the day, and I couldn't do it.
I would hate that. I actually hate getting in my car in the garage. It's kind of cold right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is too cold.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to hang out there.
You moved to California for a minute when you opened an office out there.
Yeah.
But is that the only time that you moved out of St. George?
It is, man. And I loved it. I plan on having a place there in the near future. So
we just got to keep getting richer.
I spent lunch breaks surfing. You know what I mean? I went down and just got right watching the waves every morning. And then I'd go to work. It was cool. I liked
it.
Oh,
nice.
So you do hair, right? Uh-huh. That's like your thing. How long have you done hair?
I actually have been out of hair school for only 3 years.
Okay.
So this is something I found later in life.
Okay.
I actually studied music. I was a professional singer. I toured.
Really?
Majored in vocal performance in college.
Oh, wow.
And I was sick of being on the road.
Okay.
And not having control of my schedule that way. And so about 5 years ago, I was like, I need to find something that still keeps creativity because music for me has been my outlet for creativity. And I knew whatever I decided to do, I needed to maintain that. But yet I wanted connection with people too. And so I've always been interested in hair. I always
loved doing your hair before the shows getting done up.
I was
and doing
into
all that.
I grew up with three older sisters, no brothers. So, you know, the beauty industry, all of that always intrigued me and I was into it. And so this just felt like the perfect fix for me.
So did you have like somebody that kind of nudged you in that direction or did you just take time off of music and then just said, you know, I want to do hair? Was that kind of your own choice or did somebody plant the seed saying, hey, maybe you should go do hair?
No, you know, I had my last baby who was, so I've got four kids. I had her and I let everybody know that I was touring with and working with music. I said, listen, like, I'm going to have another baby. And then I don't know. I got four kids. Like, I can't be
on
leaving
the road
all the time.
Constantly.
Yeah. I need to do something that I'm in control of my time. And so I, you know, once I kind of closed that chapter, so to speak, no one really planted a seed. It was just one of those like aha moments, yeah. Like, oh my gosh, like this is what I got to do. Like I'm doing it. And it was hard because I went to night school.
Yeah.
So I have four kids.
Yeah.
I went to school Monday through Thursday, 5 to 10. So my husband's doing the baths, the homework, the yeah. dinner, and all of that for 2 years
while
I went to school.
I couldn't have done it.
So it was a collaborative effort.
Tyler's
for
a better
sure.
man than me. That's
oh, really?
For sure.
He's,
oh,
he,
yeah. I mean,
super patient, but yeah. we just decided together. Like this is, you know, this is what I was gonna do. And anything I do,
you like to go
home. I like go all
yeah,
in.
Exactly.
Like
you know,
I am not.
Whether it's fitness, whether
yeah.
it's singing, whether it's you know hair or whatever it is, there's no you know second or third gear. It's just go.
Yes.
You know 100%.
He probably still does quite a bit of that too, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
My wife's also in the hair industry, and I'm always like rearranging my schedule around
yeah.
hers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is
yeah.
going on here? Like, yeah, she's so, like, I got clients.
Yeah.
And she loves what she does too.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, you got to give a little,
yeah.
you know.
Even though you don't want to sometimes, you know. I mean, because some people are like, well, I only can get my hair done on Saturday at this time or, you know, an event or a wedding or stuff like that. You do like weddings and all that too? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have girls who, yes, I'm getting married in the spring.
Yeah.
I want hair extensions, you know, because that is what I specialize in. And so, yeah, you're always getting that plan ahead. And I can only do it now. And you're dealing with other mothers
yeah.
and busy women.
Yeah,
who,
they got their
you know,
kids.
And
they
so
got school.
Scheduling's
you know,
a little
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. yeah. So you just have to fit people in, or do you have specific times where you won't take people in the mornings, you only do afternoons, or is it just you fit people in when you can fit them in? Or
no, you got to be real careful. I think when you first start working, it's like you'll take anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll just say yes to everything and anyone, and when can does it work for you? And
yeah.
I started doing that just because I wanted to build my clientele like
yeah.
we all do when we first start. But then real soon, like within a year of that, I was fully booked.
Yeah.
But I had no control of my
yeah.
life. Like,
yeah.
I was so burnt out already.
Yeah.
And this was like, you know, 18 months
yeah.
after getting into my career. And I was like,
I can't go at this pace
sucks.
Forever.
I can't. Like, I'm not seeing my kids.
Yeah.
Like, I had to go back and why is it that I even started this? The whole
yeah.
reason I did this was to have control
freedom.
Of my schedule.
Mm.
And so sometimes I think probably in any career, you have to like, reevaluate and go, okay, where am I at? Like, is this still the picture that I painted for myself when
yeah.
I began? And it wasn't for me. And
sometimes
so,
it's dragging you down a whole uh-huh. different path and you've got to set boundaries basically.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a great topic for a lot of people. At first, you kind of have to cater
for
to
sure.
people, right? And then when you get a name for yourself and you get booked out and people want you,
mm-hmm.
then at that point, they'll work around you. But when you're trying to get a book of business, it doesn't matter whether it's you sell insurance or whatever it is. You make time. Even if somebody wants an appointment at 8 o'clock at night, you figure it out.
You're gonna hustle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you make those sacrifices. You know, you...
Yeah.
For 18 months, you were sitting there running a crazy life, just taking whatever you could.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's going to get to the point where you feel burnout. You maybe
yeah.
want to quit. You question what you are trying to accomplish because it's just maybe not going down the path that you originally envisioned.
For sure.
But then you have to, again, take the reins back and take control because if you're that good at what you do, people will work around you. But you have to prove how good you are first,
yeah.
right? All the clients that you have now probably don't want to go to anybody else because they get really loyal and they love their hair. They love communicating with you.
Right.
And I think that that's probably an important piece in the hair industry because Kel's wife, Kaylee, does hair as well. When you have a good personality, people want to sit in your chair.
We're like therapists.
Yeah,
therapists.
Yeah.
Well, like your bartender and your hair,
exactly.
you know, we know everything.
Yeah.
And if you have someone that's just like, boom, then
yeah.
it's boring.
Yeah, exactly.
The state should step in and like make
hair
beauty professional sign confidentialities, like client privilege information,
oh,
you know?
The things I could say.
Oh,
but I
know. I know.
Yeah, we like, there's, I think there's like a special part of your brain when you're a hairstylist, like you just throw all that information back there and you just lock it up and you can't access it because
you have like a garbage file back there. You're like, I'm going to put that in the garbage.
Oh, I'm just throwing that back because I don't ever want that to accidentally come out. So yeah. I'm like,
if you have one too many drinks, you're like, oh, so-and-so was in my chair.
No, yeah, you can't. You got to put it way back and lock it up.
So client, what is that? Client something privileges?
Client, or...
Confidentiality.
Yeah, something like that, where doctors can't talk about, you know, or whatever. They're going to have to make... You know, anybody that goes to hair school signs something like that eventually. Or at least give you guys like a couple month course on how to be a therapist.
Oh, yeah.
So that you can, you know, upcharge just a little bit more. But come in, sit in a chair for an hour.
Don't start talking about your problems unless you sign this and you pay this.
Yeah, there's an upgraded problem fee, life strategy session.
This is what we're going to talk about.
Exactly. Exactly. What are your struggles? What are you going through right now?
Oh, it comes out even if you don't ask for it, is there?
Oh, yeah. I bet. I bet. So tell me, just so that you guys know, the listeners here, her husband, Tyler, also is an entrepreneur, right? And we'll have Tyler on the show as well. He agreed to that. He was kind of reluctant a little bit. He's like, no.
He's so behind the scenes.
Yeah.
He's just like, meh.
That's how we were for a long, long time. You know, just so focused on the work that needs to be done, because when you're in business, there's always just shit going wrong, right? And so you're just constantly putting out fires, getting new clients, you know, making sure everybody gets attention. But it's been a kind of a crazy journey the last, 6 months trying to evolve and get recognition. It's not like we're trying to get recognition. It's kind of weird to get recognition because it's like we've been doing this whole time. It's just now we're kind of talking about it, right? And tons of people are benefiting from it, which is great. But how do you guys, I mean, with him being an entrepreneur, you going to school and trying, how do you guys juggle all that with you now doing your own thing? And I mean, that's got to be difficult in of itself, especially if previous you were on the road. How long has he owned his business now?
About 7 years.
About 7 years. Mm-hmm. So you were still on the road for a minute while he was going through the startup phase, trying to build and grow that.
Oh, yeah. So you have to both be on the same page and you both have to have like goals and know what you want, but also create those like limitations. Like within the past, so to give you a little bit of background, again, kind of referring back to when I was at that point where I was like so burned out. Mm-hmm. I was feeling like I jumped into this career because I wanted a creative outlet, but yet I was feeling so stifled, like just doing the same stupid thing
over and over again. Yeah.
And so I pulled away, dropped some clients, and I'm like, I'm gonna get back to what I did. This is to be creative. And so I actually created an extension method that was unlike anything that was out there. And within 6 months, I started getting just like a barrage of stylists all across the globe saying, how do you do this? What are you doing? So I started posting on my Instagram.
Yeah.
So then Tyler and I were like, wow, like let's...
There's a huge response that you didn't even know about.
There is a huge need for
this.
Yeah,
exactly.
And obviously stylists were wanting to take that next step when it comes to extensions. I mean, hair extension is a huge, huge industry right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just blowing up. And so we put together an education system all online.
Okay.
So it's
just like an e-course then in terms of – so do you have like video tutorials that you kind of walk them through, or is it more audio stuff? What exactly is the course that you put together?
So once they enroll in the course, there's 15 like high-definition – front seat videos that teach and go through the entire process with a client. They can pause, stop, rewind their education, which up until this point never has been a thing in the hair industry. At this point, you'd have to go to a class. You'd have to take a few days off work. You got to pay for your travel expenses. Mm-hmm. You have to pay for the course.
Go to an event or something.
You're like
that.
Five grand into something to go sit for 9 hours and just be like a zombie at the end and be like, what did I just
feel fried?
See? You know, you're like, I don't know what happened.
That's a lot to absorb.
I've been
absorb.
To a couple of those.
Yeah. We've gone to plenty of events.
I mean, in the hair industry, I've been to a couple of hair
Oh, you really?
Ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Kaylee.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just...
I mean, it's great. It's great stuff.
It's
you
great.
Know?
But at the end of it, you walk away with so many questions.
Yeah.
So that's where I was like, I want to do this different. And so they do that. But then what we did is during certain places within that coursework, they have to check in with me.
Okay.
So we communicate through WhatsApp. So they have to submit like specific pictures, videos, documentation of their work. First step is on a mannequin, and they have to send that to me. So we included like a mentorship with this whole educational platform.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And that came about when? Just within the last like 6 months?
We launched that September 1st.
Okay. So it's like this September 1st?
Like 5 weeks ago.
Okay. Cool.
But you've been building your brand. Yeah. And your hair extensions are like your own line. Like you're building your own brand,
but
right?
But it is my own company.
Okay.
The extension, like the industry as far as education is my own thing. The method's my own. And okay. So the education.
So do you have your own hair extensions, your own
the
line or
hair,
brand?
No. Uh-huh.
No? Is that something that you see that you want to do maybe eventually? Or are you just...
Possibly down the line. I mean, right now I've partnered with an awesome line that does things, but... You know, I it's not off the table, but it's down there. So.
Yeah, you're just kind of focused on what you're focused on right now, getting that course out there and educating people. And then if it evolves from that, everything eventually evolves.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes you don't want to focus on step three or four when you're building step one, two, or whatever it may be, right? But so you decided to do this course. And from my understanding, just the little time that we've talked at the gym, it's been going pretty well. And you've had a huge response from it just within the last few months.
Yeah, within 4 weeks, we've had about 30,000 visitors to our site looking for a stylist who does my method. So it's called Invisible Bead Extension. So who does IBE? It's crazy all over the globe. And I mean,
I've got
stylists.
Website? What's your website?
InvisibleBeadExtensions.com.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wanted to go check you out, they go there. Or would you prefer them to go to your like Instagram?
Instagram definitely has a ton of just proof and all that kind of stuff.
The pictures
about it.
And the final product.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any like tutorial stuff on there just where you're doing it a little bit but not trying to give out too much information?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, there's enough there that stylists know exactly what to expect out of the extensions, what they're going to look like, what they're going to look like when they grow out. That's one thing in the industry. There are so many different types of extensions.
Yeah.
So many. But what I've really tried to do with this is be transparent with this is what you can expect. This is what they look like at 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks. As it grows out, this is what your client can expect. This is, you know, all that kind of stuff. Whereas up until this point, nobody's doing that. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of like a hidden secret. It's like, this is what it looks like at the beginning, but don't be looking underneath her weave, you know, when she comes back in because it's bad.
I think that's smart.
Some
people respond well to the transparency and the truth behind these products, you know. And honestly, like I've heard, I actually don't know. I stay pretty ignorant to the whole industry, but as much as I can anyway.
Yeah.
But I heard extensions are a pretty good investment into your beauty. Like they're not cheap.
No. They're not.
How much
are
extensions? Hair, everything.
Because I don't even know. I'm not familiar with pricing.
I'm sure there's different quality levels, but
yeah,
I know that you can.
I mean, you can get some cheap ass ones that are just garbage
if you want. Yeah, you can like look like a doll, like doll hair.
Yeah.
You know, it balls up and it gets really gross. And you can get anywhere. You know, I mean, what mine run? I mean, the hair itself is going to be anywhere from, depending on how much hair you get, you're going to be anywhere from $600 to $1,500 just for the hair.
Really?
And then you have to chart, you know, and then it's the install.
Yeah.
And then it's the upkeep. Every 8 weeks you're getting them moved up. But if you invest in something quality from the beginning, whether it's education for you as a stylist or whether it's the hair, you should be feeling like you're getting that
value.
Return and that
value
out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So you're kind of getting what you paid for.
I think that's a great point, too, because there's a lot of things out there, not just this industry, all industries, to where people are trying to hide what the long-term result is or whatever, because they're just trying to, you know, and that's what people are doing to separate themselves. They're just being... They're being honest,
more transparent,
you know. They're saying,
it.
"Hey, this is what you can expect with this product," and that kind of separates you from the crowd and builds more of a loyal customer base and audience.
Yeah.
Sure, and I think with Instagram, it's like we say that this is this great community and you can build relationships, but so many of them are so fake and not transparent and not this two-way relationship at all. It's like I'm just going to put out there this facade of look how great I am or look how great our product is. But if you can really use it to be transparent and to actually, you know, create relationships
That's what's going to set you apart.
And yeah, the engagement factor, yeah. You know, within your Instagram. I mean, you guys do awesome with that. You guys communicate and you're real.
Yeah.
And I don't know that everybody's caught on to that yet, that you have to be real and you have to be transparent in whatever it is that you're trying to sell, even if it's yourself, you know, you have to say, these are my weaknesses. Yep. I'm a real person. This is what I suck at. And I've tried to do that. And every time I do, it's like the response is just so much better.
Because everybody has issues, right?
For
everybody has problems. If all you highlight is just the pretty stuff, the success, not many people could relate to that because not everybody's seen that level of success. And sometimes something that's overly done makes them feel less than.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm not like that or I'm not like them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, no, you're looking at a finished product and that's just, I mean, anytime I'm in California and I'm sitting on the beach, you see people taking photos for Instagram and they arch in their back,
booty pop.
You know, they're freaking looking like
puffing their lips out.
Yeah. They're looking like weirdos trying to get the perfect picture.
Right.
And then they go sit there and stare at their phone, and then they go retake some more.
And then add filters.
Oh, yeah. They're smoothing.
And I think eventually, and I think it's starting to happen a little bit, and that's one reason why we have real business owners is because we were sitting there looking at, you know, Instagram in general, and it's fancy cars, it's beaches, it's airplanes, it's big houses.
Sure.
And that's what, you know, people are sitting in quotes, Winston Churchill quotes or Napoleon, whoever.
Yeah.
And it's just all old recycled shit. And it motivates you for a second, mm-hmm. but it's not really telling people how they could achieve it.
Right.
Right? There's really no meat on the bone there.
I tell people all the time.
Yeah.
I say, listen, if you put the same amount of work that you're putting into creating your facade into actually trying to create the person that you're pretending to be, you could actually be that person.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're putting in the same amount of work.
I did that Instagram story. I was like, you know, a lot of people are trying to look badass on social media. It's just easier to become a badass.
To be one.
Yeah. Instead of just trying to try to figure out how to manipulate it to make you look like that.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether you put a facade out there. Half the people will love you. Half the people will hate you.
Totally.
But if you're real, half the people will love you. Half the people will hate you. You might as well just be real about it and kind of show some of your flaws because everybody can relate to flaws because everybody has them, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just being true and being transparent. And I see it all the time on Instagram where people have lots of followers, but they're not commenting back. They're not.
Oh, right.
It's like support the people that are supporting you. Show them a little bit of love, even if it's a knuckles or hey, appreciate you or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, it's starting to get a little overwhelming at this point because, you know, obviously the page is continuing to grow and trying to keep up with commenting to every comment and replying to every DM and I'm taking phone calls and it's starting to get overwhelming, but I'm going to keep up with it as long as I possibly can and still show love. But people just too much highlight themselves rather than what they're trying to do. You know, make your Instagram about other people bringing value to them. You have an Instagram about doing hair and you're showing people the, you know, here's how you do it. Here's how you could be better at what you're trying to do. Reach out to me if you have questions. And this podcast only exists because we had so many people reaching out saying, do you guys do mentorship? Do you guys do this? Do you have YouTube channels? And we're just trying to, you know, give people a little bit more long form content that they can listen to.
Same concept that you have. You know? You could easily be like, oh, I have these, you know, tricks of the trade and these great hair product that I don't want to share because I want as many clients as I can. I want to keep my secrets. And you're like, no, I want to help people win.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
and everybody wins in the
long run. I think that's natural. For a little bit, I was like that. When I first created this and I started playing around with it, I did. Like, I was
you wanted to hoard it.
I was like,
this looks better.
Check me out. Like, I just figured something out that nobody can do. And and I wanted to keep it just for me and my clients. And I've realized, I mean, really daily, these affirmations of thank you so much for sharing. And like, this has changed my life. This has changed my family's, you know, life. What your method has done for me behind the chair. And I'm like, how can you keep that from people? If you have something you know, you got to share it.
Yeah.
And yes, I am making money off of it.
Yes.
But I still think that's okay.
But are you providing value?
But I'm providing value. My girls who do this, I mean, this one girl just sent me a video. She said, I just made well over $10,000. And that's a lot for a hairstylist. For someone who, you know, is just kind of doing your normal cut and color things. Yeah. She said, I made well over 10 grand the first month. And I am expecting to make way more all off of this kind of extension work. She lives in Virginia. So it's just awesome. Yeah. I think it's okay to share. And a lot of times you find that mentality of we figured something out and it's our secret.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you can share.
And you should charge. And you should charge well because several reasons. One, your time is worth money. You've got a craft. You are sharing it. You want people to win. But if you don't charge, they don't value it.
Yeah.
And they won't actually do the course. But they actually pay something and something – You
got some skin in the game, like you're invested.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you've taken your course to market through social media. Mm-hmm. Is that mainly how you're getting it out there, or do you have people locally that pay you for the course, or is it just mainly?
Everything has been through Instagram. That's where my industry lives. Okay. You know, it's so visual. It's the beauty industry. You know, you want to see a picture and be wowed. Yep. You know, and so it's all been off of Instagram. And we get within the first, before we even were taking anything, I had over 1,000 stylists who had signed up who wanted to take this course before there was even anything out there.
Okay.
I was working on it behind the scenes furiously trying to get something, put together.
Launched, yeah.
And so, but at this point we have, you know, probably about 3 to 5 a day that we are bringing on, and they have to fill out an application.
So you won't take on just anybody, or
they have to be
what's
licensed.
The application,
I mean,
process?
A licensed cosmetologist, but they have to go through the, you know, have you done this kind? Have you done extensions before?
Yeah.
What are you looking to find? Like, just kind of
getting to know them almost as an application to understand where they're at and what they're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Just making sure it's a good fit. You know, that they're ready to make that investment, because it is. Like Kale said, it is like a financial investment. Yeah. Anytime you invest in anything education-wise, it's, are you going to be able to get that back? Do you have the client base where you feel like you can apply this?
Do you or are see you just that doing... as a main concern? Is do you get the pricing as a concern from some people? Oh, I just can't do that. I just don't, you know. If it was free, everybody would do it, right? So if somebody doesn't do it, it's probably just a price issue. But yet you've got... What's so weird about this is...
Well, if it's free, everyone would sign up to do it, but then they wouldn't follow through.
I still get that.
Yeah, I guarantee.
Just swipe my card and I never see him again.
What's weird is when you have like a airplane point of view of where you could see where somebody's at and somebody's taking your course, then hits you up and says, hey, I just brought in $10,000 that month. You really realize the initial investment's nothing compared to what they're going to get for 1, 2, 5, 10 years return, right? And so in terms of being scared of investing, I guarantee you, if you guys invest into yourself or in your craft, whatever it is that you're doing, you will see an ROI on that that will be positive, right? You should always that's the reason why some industries have continued education.
Yeah.
Right? Is so that they can continue to get better and better and better at their craft. I think a lot of people become stagnant because they go to hair school or whatever, and then they just do that. They're not trying to add another tool to their tool bag and create additional sources of income. Let me ask you this, because obviously there had to be an investment on your guys' side in terms of, you know, creating the courses, in marketing the courses. Mm-hmm. Was that a scary thing for you guys, or was that just kind of like a no-brainer? I don't care. This is what we're going to do, because in most cases, most people kind of have a little bit of a stutter step, so to speak, when they're creating something new and there's money going out and they don't know what the result's going to be. It seems like that you already had a list of people, which probably helped give you confidence, starting to spend money and build that course. But what was that thought process? Was that just a no-brainer for you, or was there a little bit of hesitancy on it? Or,
we did have like the pre-launch list that we were accumulating. So I knew, I was pretty dang confident in what I had created, that this was unlike anything that was out there.
Yeah.
But as far as the investment goes, you know, my husband and I, he's always worked for himself. He's always been an entrepreneur, always kind of done that thing. So I, at this point, I understand that you have to put something in to get something
out. You've got to have skin in the
game. And so I was willing to just, and my personality is, I like, again, I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, I can't get hung up and go, you know, is this going to work?
What
is, you know,
all the what ifs that are looming, you're not giving that as much, you're not paying attention to the negative what ifs.
Yeah, because the what ifs, like, nothing's going to happen the way that you expected it. Like,
never.
In my little, you know, my plan, it's not even close to what I thought it was going to be. But I think you just have to take that initial jump and just like, I'm going to go. Because if you get hung up and you wait for everything to line up, or you wait for the money to be there to then invest, like, we started cycling through and we started figuring out real quick, okay, it costs us this much to get this lead. But, you know.
So did you do some ad tests prior to creating the courses just to see if you could kind of create a lead or create a customer? Or,
you know, I already felt like I had that on Instagram based off of just the posts that I was making. Those were kind of my ads. You know, people were responding and I was getting slammed with DMs and people were starting to share it. And so I didn't necessarily have to put together like a promotional ad. I mean, I have since then.
Yeah.
But to begin with, that just initial raw interest was enough to drive me to go, okay, I got something here. I'm going to run with it.
You were already listening to your audience. You already knew what they wanted and needed.
You know, and some people don't have that. Maybe that's why they lack confidence to cut the check or put skin in the game.
Yeah.
And where you guys have the entrepreneur kind of background, you guys are used to shelling out money, right? Like, money goes out, and then after
a
period, in some cases it's a boomerang. In some cases it just keeps
going.
The kite
that you just let go and you go.
Exactly. Like, oh, well, that's not coming
that's
back.
Right.
Yeah, but guys, just when you're about to make initial investment, in most cases you will be scared, you will be nervous, but when you finally stroke that check, the nervousness ends up turning into excitement for the possibility of something greater. It's just a matter of getting over the hump of just the fear of spending, because once the money's gone, we've done this many times over with different investments. We're like, oh, should we put $100,000 into that or $200,000 into that or whatever? But right when we're done with kind of talking about it, discussing it, and we cut the check or we wire the money or whatever it is on a new business venture, it goes from maybe some negative what ifs or some anxiety about an investment to the excitement of an opportunity.
It's like,
for deal's
done. Let's get to work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. And like, you're gonna be invested. You're now invested. Like, it's for real. You gotta go. It's go time.
It's just like when you went to your hair college. You know, like, you're like, you just had to do it. You're like, this is what I want to do. I'm going to do it. You took steps every single day, going to classes, doing your studies. Your husband's figuring out how to support it. And you guys just make it work, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's probably the same, almost the same process from launching your new course. Like, let's just do it. Let's put the money in, put the time in.
We'll figure it out
one step
as we
at
go.
A time.
Yeah, you'll just kind of, I mean, that's just business 101 is.
Totally.
You start and then you kind of listen and just navigate the waters as people are giving you feedback or whatever it is, and maybe, you know, take the time to say, okay, well, what more can I do to provide value? Oh, let's add some phone calls in there in between some of the e-courses or whatever it is, just to give people a little bit more clarity, which in a lot of cases, a lot of people that do courses, they want it just automated. They want to sell the course and then just back off. You know, so I think it's cool that you have a piece to where they can actually contact you, communicate with you, and they get a little bit more one-on-one.
Really,
because we know a lot of people that sell different courses online.
Oh, sure.
And the whole point of doing an e-course is so that they can create it and then just market it and have this thing that's just kind of making them money where they're not having to continue to do the work. But you're on the front lines with them, you know.
That was a big deal to me in creating this. And it was actually a little bit... It was against what some people told me to do, you know, because it is so easy to just throw some videos out there and you're
sell,
good.
Sell.
And
let them figure it out.
Yeah,
you know, that's
what
some people have.
I couldn't wrap my head around that. I didn't feel good about that because I was like, no, there has to be a personal connection.
Because
that's important to me, just to me personally.
Yeah.
I feel like connection with people, Relationships is important. And I've been to so many classes where I go, I sat in the back row, you know, paid my money, never even spoke to the person giving the class. Yep. And I get handed a certificate when I walk out the door. And now all of a sudden I know what I'm doing. And I just was like, I can't, I won't do that. And I think that has been a huge, like, there's been a huge response.
That's what
for
separates
that.
You.
That's what's different is people can feel that. And they know that if you come and you go through this course, you are actually creating, like, there's a mentorship.
Yeah.
You will walk out of here so confident in what you're doing that it doesn't matter how much you pay for that. Like, that's invaluable. And so the price almost doesn't become an issue because
they get that one-on-one
they get that value and that security that my investment is protected. Like, I'm not just going to pay this and walk away and not know what to do with it.
Yeah. And again, this is kind of a newer thing for you, and you've maybe already seen it because of the one-on-one touch that you're giving people. I guarantee you, people in hair, they talk, right? They know other people in hair.
Oh, women.
So, it's bumping gums, you know, blah, 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 you know, while they're doing hair.
Oh, yeah.
And then somebody's going to say, hey, where did you learn that? You know, do you get referrals from people? Have you already started to see referrals because you're giving such good value and that one-on-one attention?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, when we first started, we would see direct correlation between the ads, you know, that I would promote on Instagram versus the amount of applications coming in.
Yeah.
And for the past few weeks, we've actually pulled the ads, haven't ran anything. Applications are the exact same as they were before.
Mm.
And we're finding that it's just starting to build momentum in the snowball effect because of the stylists who have been through it.
Yeah.
Other stylists are contacting them and saying, hey, is this worth it?
Mm.
And there hasn't been a negative
review, so to speak.
Yeah. Everyone's just like,
absolutely.
You have to do this.
Yeah.
So yes, the referrals come. And I think, like you said, it's when they have a personal connection with whatever the product or business their company is, you know, because of the way that things are done nowadays, everything's online, everything's automated. I think sometimes we get so automated and so much just
like lose the connection.
You lose that. And people still need that, even though we are in a fast paced society where everybody wants it on their own time. Now, there's still something about humans. You can't not give them that personal touch and connection. They'll feel disconnected.
There has to be somebody behind the business, somebody that they connect the business to, and you'll have far more success rather than just putting a name and a logo out there of whatever your business is. That's hard to connect to if it's just all automated and somebody buys a course and you're not, there's no phone calls. That course just might sit there and they might not log into it. It sounds like that there's somewhat of an accountability piece to it. If you don't hear from somebody, do you reach out to them and say, hey, how are things going? You know, where are you at with things? Kind of what's it, which also separates you, right? In having somebody saying, hey, you've spent some money. Let's get through the course. Let's make sure that you're getting value. So do you just reach out to them once a week, once every couple weeks? Do some people just, you wait for them to reach out? How does that kind of go down?
So it's interesting there. I think at the beginning there was a lot of people, a lot of stylists who just like wanted to see what it was all about, you know, almost like just kind of creeping on it and were willing to just drop money just to be like,
I want to know what the hell you're up to.
Like, who that?
I want to see if I can copy this shit.
But really, that's like a whole nother podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I, for the most part, because once they would send an application, I would send them out a text. So immediately upon application, they're getting, through a software program that my husband developed, they're getting a personal touch and they're being contacted all the way through. And so, yes, they're getting texts even from application through. And then within 30 days, if they haven't said boo and done anything with it, then I'll just reach out again,
say,
is there anything I can help you with? Obviously, I'm not going to like force you to do something that you don't want to do. But yeah, there's accountability. And especially once they dive in and they start going, I mean, if needed, I hold their hand all the way through it. And some people need that, some people don't. But if they're going to find the value in that, then we'll do it.
Yeah, that's cool. What are you writing down, Kel? Anything
you
cool?
You taking notes? What's happening?
Yeah, no, yeah. I did.
I want to take
a couple
some
highlights.
Notes. I'm going to copy your, but I'm the kid in class that copies other people's notes.
Well,
I'm
going
to look over there and copy Kel's notes and then hopefully come up with mine.
I got three highlights. I was going to wait till the end, but.
Let's talk about it real quick. I love when
no,
you
No, there's three things I want to highlight is, first of all,
curiosity.
Confidence. You know, you've got the perfect recipe for success here. That hopefully people are picking up on. You've had confidence. You only came out of hair school 3 years ago. You're already charging what you're worth. And that takes confidence for people to do that. And I know because I've heard around town. Like,
for sure.
She's great. She charges this. And you know what I mean? And it's
like I said,
and you
people
back
talk.
It up. And so, and at the end of the day, like, I love that. You have confidence. But then the real magic, too, is you execute. You don't wait around. You figure out how to get what you want out of everything by just making it happen. But then there's a lot of power in the influence, too. And that's with your course. Like, you have other people referring and recommending your course, and people are buying, or they're actually selling your course for you. They're like, yes,
eventually,
you have to do it because you are giving that personal touch. You are actually making yourself accessible to them, and people are winning with your course, you know, and that's what real fluence is. When people actually get results, now they start selling for you.
Yeah.
And so those are the three highlights I was writing down to highlight, you know.
Kel did a good job of highlight. He circles back at the end of the podcast.
It, drop it with it.
Here's what I liked about you. And, you know, I wish I was better about that, but Kel's great with that. I did want to ask you, because we talked a little bit about hair events. Like, there's lots of hair events. People, you know, you've paid and sat in a seat. You didn't get the attention at the end. It's just kind of like, now your brain's fried. Go home, figure it out, right? Is that something that you would want to do at one point, is kind of do your own events to where you're bringing in, you know, 50 people at a time or 100 people at a time and maybe doing something like that at a live event? Or is that not something that you really see yourself doing?
So, looking forward, kind of a snapshot of maybe next year. So within the course, girls can work towards being a master stylist, which then on invite can become a mentor, which will then be certified and allowed to teach.
Okay.
So I would love to have kind of my little army, if you will, all across the globe. I mean, I've got girls in 7 different countries right now that are certified, that are working towards this mentorship. So I've got some in London, you know, all over the place. So I see that as being something where they do almost like a look and learn. Not, I don't think I can ever do an all day event and then go home and say you're certified.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah. It's too easy.
It's just too cold and impersonal, and you can't get it by doing it one time on a mannequin.
Yeah.
Even if I was there to walk by and say, that looks great. Like, like we get into it with mentorship. Like, I spend a lot of time, like, troubleshooting and what ifs and if this happens. So that can't happen in a day. So I think, you know, having something like a demos and look and learns, hey, you can come watch a live thing, but you will still always be required to go through the online training, have the pause, stop, and rewind education, because that is where the benefit is. And having a mentor, that will always be a part of this program and education.
Somebody to lean on.
Yeah, I just can't leave
that. Yeah, it is smart.
A lot of these events, too, are just the same old formula where they're like, okay, great, you know, we've taught you all this stuff, now give us $25,000, we'll come in, help you fix all this stuff. It's just like a big upsell thing.
Yeah, we need more money, more money. Or if you want to become a mentor, you have to pay us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you don't have to pay me after you've proven yourself that you know what you're doing. You don't have to pay me more money. Yeah. Like, in fact, let me pay you to go out and be a representative and an ambassador for our brand. Like, I don't agree with that. I don't think
it's such a more legitimate model.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
Let me ask you this. I mean, do you have like a private Facebook page for anybody that has bought the e-course? And if you don't, I mean, I that's what I see maybe being valuable to other people that take the course. If you put them in a private Facebook group and there's 1,000 people that have purchased the course from you, and there's a community mm-hmm. where they can connect and get together, and they all deal with the same things on a day-to-day basis, and they're all therapists.
Yeah,
yeah, so this is new to me.
I'm glad you asked that. We actually we had an app built.
Okay.
So once upon certification,
they
then get an invite to be a part of the Certified Stylist app, mm-hmm. where it is a community of, you know,
like-minded.
Yeah, women. I've been to, within my industry at least, I've been to a lot. I'm a member of all the Facebook, the private Facebook, and you get thousands of women who have been to an all-day course, who are confused, who have no clue what they're doing, and they're all sounding off in this Facebook group, and it just creates this like this chaos and a bunch of weird, like, the method's being changed because so-and-so in Louisiana's stitching it like this, and she's trying to tell people.
That's wrong.
Yeah, you didn't do it like that. This. And with women, there's a lot of this like negative. People will just like
almost too chatty.
Yeah,
want to shut out.
And
the
I'm
chatter.
Like, you know what? We're not going to do that. You're going to get an invite to an app, you know, separate from a Facebook or whatever. So within the app, they can. And these girls have all been through and trained by a mentor.
Yeah.
So they know what they're doing. They can provide sound advice.
Yeah.
And, you know, a sounding board for people that go on. So that we do have ongoing. There is an absolute community being built.
That's
and they
huge.
Love that.
Yeah. I mean, somebody that comes in and just barely buys, and if they get into a community, it would be great that, you know, hey, has anybody deal with this or
that's
this client or that? And, oh, yeah, I did. And this is how I did this or whatever. And they... everybody's kind of picking each other up and helping each other out. And so I think that that's a huge and important piece to it, is so that when they buy, then they go through the program, they get the connection with you. But it would be great if they had a connection with everybody that's gone through that as well. Mm-hmm. So it's good that you guys are thinking ahead like that. Now, what's the biggest problem that you're facing right now in business, in your business?
Honestly, my biggest thing is the copycats. That's my biggest frustration is a lot, you know, someone will see a picture of something and then they think that they can do it. And then they start using, you know, my terminology and everything like that. And yes, I mean, I'm trademarked, patent pending, copyright, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But at what point do you exercise
start
that
pursuing.
Legal? Like,
you would just drive yourself crazy to try to chase down everybody that's trying to copycat.
Yeah, and I tried for a few, and it literally like ate me alive.
Yeah,
I just couldn't handle the negativity.
Well, I've seen people on Instagram. Well, I guess I haven't. My wife has. She follows a few, you know, whatever bloggers or whatever, you know, doing the woman thing, right? Following other people that. You know, do
dress
cool
up
shit.
And take pictures
dress
up.
You know, they got a big house. You know, they sit on the beach,
here's
take pictures. My kids are always perfect. Their hair's never a mess. You know, they've never peed their pants.
You know,
shit like that. But she's like, this one girl that she felt, she's like, she's so annoying. Watch this. And she'll show me somebody else posts what they post, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I found this thing on Amazon. And then 3 hours later, this girl is basically taking everything that this other girl is doing, and so she's doing all the work, but she's just she found these shoes or this hat or this shirt or this, and so then she goes to Amazon, looks at it, and does her own swipe up and buy so that she can get, so she's letting somebody else do all the legwork, all the research, you know, taking the pictures, modeling it, whatever, saying swipe up and buy. And then there's this other girl over here that's just doing the lazy way of it and just being like, oh,
it's
cool.
It's great idea. Thanks.
She
goes, go ahead and take that.
Yeah. And she showed, oh, I found these at Costco. You guys should check it out. And then you go over to this other one. Hey, I just found these at Costco. And it's like,
but I just came across.
It's like, damn.
Yeah. It's, you know, super frustrating.
Copycatting.
But there is some positives to it. I mean, obviously.
It means you're doing something,
obviously,
right?
Yeah, you should take it as a compliment. But at the end of the day, like, those people lack so much creativity, they're probably never going to win. And it's just going to create more loyal customers for you in the long run. And it probably is going to drive you a little bit to keep, you know, doing your best, you know. And so there is some positives to it if you reframe it. But I totally
see the frustration with that. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
And you can get caught up in anything negative, you know, whether it's the copycats or whether it's the issues with Facebook and whatever it is. But I, you know, there's so much positive and stuff that I am in control over.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the more I just circle it back to that, I'm like, hey, I, you know, she's doing this. I can't control what mm-hmm. she's posting or what she's saying she's teaching now, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And so if anything, I've turned it into, okay, that drives me to be more authentic
yeah.
and mm-hmm. more like you can't copy me.
Me, yeah.
You exactly. can't copy my yeah. experiences, yeah. what I've been through in my yeah. life that has brought me to where I am.
Yeah.
You can try and copy my ideas or whatever, but what I put into this and the way that I've structured it and the way that, you know, the relationships and that part,
you can't do that.
Because yeah. it's not coming from the same place.
Yeah.
So, you know, as much as I can remind myself of that, I think in any business, you know, yeah. you bring stuff to the table that's uniquely you, and you might be in the same industry as, I mean, obviously we all have competition no matter what we do.
Absolutely.
But to have confidence, like you said, and mm-hmm. hey, like, this is me and I'm, you know, I have something to offer
yeah.
and it's different than that kind of just like puts them... muzzle on all the other noise.
People, I mean, copycatting anyways, they're behind, right? Like, you know, I mean, they're other people are, you know, creating, you know, and you're being genuine about what you're doing and all that. And like this, you can't, they're not going to be able, people are buying you, you yeah. know, whether you like it or not, right? People are buying you. Yes, they want an end result to be able to make more money, but you are what they're investing into, mm-hmm. right? Because they don't have anything tangible immediately. They don't know what's in the course. They don't, you know, they're trusting you as the individual that's behind it.
Yeah.
And that's who they're really buying,
yeah.
right? And that's why building relationships in business or in general is so important, because they can copy an image or copy the verbiage, but they can't be you,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's just a good message in general. Just be authentic and be yourself. We've seen yeah. people, you know, uber dressed up and speak on stage. And we've seen guys that, you know, have gone to jail and turned their life around, and they're on stage swearing. They're just being themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that might turn some people off because they curse or this, but they're just being authentic to who they are. And in most cases, it just resonates with people. And, you know, they do a lot of business because mm-hmm. of it. You can tell if somebody's, you can dress up a turd, but it's still a turd, right?
Still
like, yeah, it's still a stinky ass turd, you know. So it might look pretty with hair extensions, you know.
All
you
put some extensions
yeah,
on
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. It'll make it look good.
It'll look real good.
So her next business venture will be beard extensions. So that should get the guys excited out there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
If you've got beard problems, she's about to solve that.
You got the summer beard, some here, some there. Yeah, I can make it all.
Yeah, we're gonna get you guys up to par on your beard game.
Mm-hmm.
Look like ZZ Top or something.
That dynasty.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah, just call it something like that. Just
My company, it's Invisible Bead Extensions. So maybe yeah. we can go Invisible Beard Extensions.
There you go.
Like, yeah. just add a letter. There you go. Got a whole Better. New.
Me and Kel will rep it on a podcast. You just come in and, you know.
Yes.
Clip
grow,
it in.
Grow it out a little
you
bit.
You got to grow it out a little bit so I can have yeah. something to attach it to.
Well, I can't go through the weird phase. That's why I need you to come up with extensions.
I know, mine all
that
curls
clip.
In and then it's like itchy. Never doesn't go down. So
I wish I can get past that
weird.
Awkward phase. So just to end the podcast, what's one piece of advice that you would give a young entrepreneur, because you've seen, you know, all the stuff that your husband's done, you're doing your entrepreneur stuff, you know, there's obviously struggle, you know, throughout the whole process, but, and young doesn't mean 18, it just means young in the business game,
sure.
right?
I think the main thing for sure is just don't forget the power of you
mm-hmm.
and being just authentic. And no matter what it is, like we've talked about, don't forget that people need to feel a connection with not something, but someone.
Mm.
So whatever it is you're selling, they're not going to respond and jump on and grab onto that thing as
yeah.
much as they will another person.
Yeah.
So involve yourself. And this was hard for me because I'm a very, very private person.
Mm.
And up until this venture, I am like, don't even like close the
yeah.
doors. Like, you don't know me. I don't have any, you know, it's so this has been hard for me, but it's actually been It's been good. It's been rewarding, and it's forced me to you know, either evolve or repeat. And either I was going to be the shut-in that was just very private, or I'm going to put stuff out there, and this is what I've learned, and this is what I've been through. And you can apply the things that you've been through to any startup, any business, anything like that. And I think that's super important, to just be authentic and don't try and be somebody else. That even if you admire that person, that's awesome, that's great. But you are still you, and dig deep. Find those experiences, the things that make you you, and put them out there and put them to good use, you know?
The things that you fear putting out there are going to be usually the things that resonate the most with somebody else.
Yeah, we all have our stuff, you know?
And put your shit out there and watch people gravitate towards it, because it, it actually shows that you're just being real, like we've talked about. And to, you know, kind of circle back and agree with you on your point. I mean, if I'm going to go buy a car and I hate the car sales guy, even if I want that thing, that car, I don't want to buy it from him. You know, I would rather leave and buy that same car online or go somewhere else and vibe with somebody because I don't want that person to make money, because I don't want to reward them for being shitty. You know what I mean? And so creating those real connections, whether you're selling a car, selling houses, you know, hair extensions, whether you sell accounting services, whatever it is, there has to be some form of connection. And when you create that connection, you're creating a customer, right?
For life.
Exactly.
A loyal
one. And somebody that will shout your name from the mountaintop. Oh, I learned from her. I learned from, you know what I mean? Rather than them trying to teach and charge for themselves. You know, in most cases, if they really do like you and appreciate you and all the value that you brought, they're just going to refer people to you rather than trying to, you know, copy and paste it.
Absolutely. Well, and to touch on the copy thing too, like people, you know, I don't go out and copy people's business models. That's lame. But if you want to copy, if you want to copy things, go copy, you know, what your habits are, your skills are. Like she's an executor, she's an influencer, she's got confidence. Like those are the things you should be like emulating from people that you do look up to. And so I think that you should share with people how they can find you.
So my Instagram is at hair.extension.queen.
Hair dot
like a period.
Yeah, like hair. Yeah, just a period. Yeah.
Extension dot queen.
Yeah. Dot queen.
Mm-hmm. It don't matter if you're male, female. You want to watch people that are successful.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what, like, I mean? So give that page a follow.
You can always learn from other people, even if you're not in that craft. The way that they're promoting themselves and things like that. And again, you put your own unique spin to it, right? We saw people being influencers, and we were paying people to talk about easier accounting, and we kind of looked at each other and said, well, why don't we just become our own influencers?
Yeah. We already do this every day, man.
Yeah,
we run sales teams. We talk about leadership. You know what I mean? But we're also learning from some of the greatest out there as well.
Yeah. Guys, I know you got value, or guys and gals, I should say, right? I just need to be a little bit better about that. But when I say guys, I mean everybody.
It's a universal.
Are you one of those people, if somebody says guys, that you feel left out? Or is it just kind of like...
No.
Okay, good.
I'm in.
So guys, you know, I know that you guys got value today out of the podcast. Make sure that you go check her out on the hair.extension.queen. Send her a DM if you have any questions. If you're interested in her course, again, send her. Is that the best way? DM or button as well?
If you're interested in the course, there's a link to the application, a little bit more information about the educational course on my Instagram.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm always responding to DMs. I never leave any question unanswered. Maybe it's my OCD, but I can't.
Yeah, when you see a notification, like I got
to answer this.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
So I'm on it.
Try to get to it as best as I can, but. Make sure you like the podcast, subscribe to it. Make sure you rate and review it. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Have a good rest of your day.